So tonight the lesson is hope. And that's our third lesson, and we're moving into the second step and the second principle. So hopefully you found out that you're not God. And if you've done that, then you've done real good. So and we can be moving right along. So let's just read the principle together and the verses and the step. So earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Philippians 2:13. You know, God's timing is so wonderful. And every time in His timing, He knew exactly when to touch my life. And as usual, for a lesson, I'm just going to inject myself into the lesson because I just know no other way to do it. So hopefully the Lord will give me the right things to speak here. I should introduce myself. I am Michael. I am a grateful believer in Jesus. And today, I have struggled with and I'm dealing with selfishness and fear. Let's start out with the first scripture they give us. Anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. The first letter in our acrostic hope is H for higher power. And His name is?
Jesus.
Amen. It's just not a random thing. I'm glad that we just understand that totally here. When I came to the Lord, back to the Lord, I must say, when I came into recovery, I really became aware of His existence, that He was real again. I was really struggling with life, and He touched me. And in that moment, when He touched me on my office floor, just sitting there, I was bone dry. My drug use was gone. My adultery was gone. And I was tired of my pain and my hurt and my rebellion. He just knew that. The thing about that story is that's really relevant to me, and I must say, He knew I'd come to my end. He knew I'd come to the end of my rebellion, that nothing was working. And so He could reach over and touch me and remind me that He was there. His faithfulness came in. And I just immediately responded. It wasn't really a great big emotional thing, but it was wonderful. Romans 11:36. Everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by His power. That touch was His power. A soft, gentle touch. Right on my... just it almost felt like it was on my shoulder, but He was over me. And it came from Him. The answer came from Him. I knew it was Him. And when He touched me, I came alive, and I began to earnestly seek Him about 90 miles an hour straight to CR. I raged all the way here. See, I wasn't healed at the time. I passed people and did all kinds of wacky things. And I tell you, it was... I earnestly got on that bandwagon of, Lord, I'm going to do it this time. I had been in and out of church all my life. In fact, I had given the church and other followers of Christ two great big strikeouts for me, and I was very fearful of trusting them, of dealing with this. But I'll tell you, He has helped me. He really has helped me. When I sat in my first CR meeting that night that I got here, I said, "Hi, I'm Michael. I'm struggling with anger and rage." And I said that for about 7.5 years. And, you know, I didn't feel any great big lights go off. I didn't feel any great big change all at once. But through that 7.5 years, he helped me deal with that thing that my eyes was seeing at that time, and that was my anger. The drugs were gone, the adultery were gone, all the other things that were really I didn't need in my life. He actually took those things out. And what he put in front of me was my anger, you know. And it's been very wonderful. Today, now, and for the last 6.5 years, I've been saying, "Hey, I'm Michael. I'm dealing with fear and selfishness." And the same thing applies, that the process took this last 6.5 years for me really to identify with selfishness and fear and how that works in my life. So, and how he can help me get healed from it and through it and over it. So today, and after 14 years, 23 some days of coming through those back doors, you used to be in the back there, I'm dealing with anxiety. That's the force field for fear and selfishness. It's like lays out there over there, so you're having a hard time still. And you know, after 14 years, you know, I'm just looking at this, I'm going, okay, I'm seeing anxiety, and I'm ready to deal with it. Yeah, I was never really ready to deal with anxiety. I was never really ready to deal with every part that was going wrong with me. I was just able to look at the fear and selfishness and deal with that every morning. And wake up in the morning just groggy, looking at my window and doing my prayer time and just going, "Wow, I'm a mess. I'm really just, yesterday was terrible. I failed. And just different patterns of that whole, where I could see fear and selfishness working in my life. He allowed me to see it because it's the only thing I had to deal with for 6.5 years. And now he's given me anxiety and he prepped me for it. He gave me the scripture, you know, of Mark or Matthew 6. Halfway through there, he talks about, why are you anxious? You know, I feed the birds, you know, I take care of the flowers in the field. How much more am I going to take care of you? And he said to me, and then I looked it up, he said, the last line, just worry about today. There's enough problems today, and I want you just to worry about this. And so I've been doing that. I lived for the last 2 years trying to live today. How many has tried to do that, really tried to do that? It's hard, isn't it? It really is hard. In fact, you have to answer some people and they think that you're playing a game with them, right? So to speak, I've learned to modify my living in a day to comp, you know, to help out with other people in my life, whatnot. But I really focused on just today. So anyway, that is the H in higher power. 2 Corinthians 12. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. So, when I came to understand these weaknesses in me, I got to understand how God could transform that. I got to understand the whole process of how he was going to come to me and help me deal with that and actually heal me. But it was a process. And I gained a lot of hope through that thing. And it, through those years and through that process, I was able just to move along step by step and moment by moment. The Lord is gracious. He's a very patient teacher. And through the whole process, he was really learning how to, teaching me how to stand and not run away. Because my usual thing would be, if I got ticked off or something hurt me or I was challenged by something, I would run. In fact is, I believe, in the past got hurt. My feelings got hurt. I struggled with something. I got a huge hammer over the head inside the church, and I split. And really, inside this ministry right here, I got what I think was beat up, you know. That's what I felt. I took a heavy blow. And I tell you, before I would have just been out of here. And for some of you that know me, I probably would have been good had I done that sometimes, because I was really moaning and weeping and crying and having a hard time. But I stayed. And through that process, he taught me how to stand in fellowship, stand with other people, and be transparent and grow. And part of my recovery is doing that with all of you, to seem weak, to be crying, to show my pain, and for you people to be able to see that and understand it and help me. It's all part of the process. It's really important to remain. And it's really reassuring to understand through the whole process when you do it, you see how he's in control. And he has and will continue to help me and heal me. The O is openness to change. Scripture says in Ephesians 4:23, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person." If you've taken care of that first step and that first principle, that you believe God exists because you're no longer God, that he's real, that he's going to help you, and that you are powerless to change. That's the first position of being open, to understand that you really are powerless, that you really have come to a place where you need help. So to have that and that vulnerability, and to be here and to be ready to just take on this challenge that Celebrate Recovery is going to help you do, that's openness to change at the start right there. But you're going to want to start taking a look and want to be ready to just have your heart opened up and to get these things out, you know, and to be ready to change. My running away was done when I came here, and I knew I needed help. I was tired of being stupid and worthless and a victim. You know, I was playing that out for the first 4 or 5 years here. I played all that stuff out, but I was done with it. I knew I couldn't do that anymore. I knew I couldn't run. I knew I couldn't blame everybody else. But for me, it was just, I needed to come here and I needed to practice things, and I needed to be open to the change that was going to happen in my life. We need to gain a different lens to see through. And Celebrate Recovery does that, you know. And it does that through people, it does that through scripture, it does that through programs that really help us to sit down and take a look at what's going on in our life. So we really do need to desire that ability to see in a different way and to express ourselves in a different way, not through rage, not through selfishness, not through fear or failure, but through, hey, I'm going to take a look at how the Lord can heal me. I'm not going to rage. I'm going to speak. I'm going to confess. I'm going to admit my faults. I'm going to take responsibility that I'm doing something wrong. And Lord, will you please show me how to do that? When I take that position in life and take responsibility for myself, and if you take responsibility for yourself, you're really opened up for the Lord to come in and say, here. Step two says, we came to believe. We came to believe in Jesus and that he's our hope. Hope is openness to change, you know. It's hope that's telling us that we can change. It's his touching my life that gave me hope, you know, and that nothing else out there was working. There was no hope out there, but when he touched my life, I really felt that hope. It's a real attribute of his. It's a real tenderness. It's all him. You know, it's like love. And I tell you what, you know, they say the guy likes to hear about respect and some people like love and stuff like that. I tell you, you can love me, but I'll tell you what, if you give me hope, it's just so much more. It's such a fine part of love when I can just look forward to my life and no longer fear it, you know? When I trust him, it's really good. The P is for power to change. I realized that I needed His help. When I came here that first night, and I dodged all those cars out there, and I raged all the way here, and I sat out in that back parking lot. I'm sitting there at my wheel, you know. And I must tell you, I sat out about 3 years earlier. This was the main sanctuary, and I sat right about where you are, Jim, right next to my parents. I don't know why I came here, but I came here, and it was just like whatever it was. But when I got through halfway through worship, I was just shaken. I was miserable. I was just, oh, something overcame me, and I couldn't run out those front doors fast enough. And I got in my car, and I went out and parked in the outside lane there and just sat there, and I cried. You know, I couldn't tell you then why I was crying, but I was hurt. I was just feeling all of my pain, all of my hurt. I was just nuts until the parking lot was empty and there was no one around here. And I finally just drove off, you know. So I'm sitting back here 3 years ago in the parking lot, drove 90 miles an hour to get here. I'm going to go, you know. I earnestly wanted to be here, but I sat back there and said, Lord, I'll go in there, but I'm going to need Your help. It was the most honest prayer, first prayer I prayed for probably 15 years. I just sat there and said, I need Your help. Just as simple as that. And I went in and He did. He helped me. But I also made a promise. I says, I'll go in there and I won't leave. Because I knew I was a leaver. I was a runner. I was a get the heck out of there. But He helped me stay. He really had helped me stay. Philippians 4:13, power to change. For I can do everything God asked me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. It's just a big amen, you know. If we're open to that change, He'll show us that, and He'll present the way, and He'll give us the strength. How does it work for me? I need His Word. I need to read the Word. I need to be in it for myself. For myself. Now, I hear lots of guys on the radio. I can come here on Sunday and listen to it. I can listen to the TV guys. I can listen to my brothers delivering me the Word. You know, but I need to read the Word. And I need to have it soak right through my whole person and really try to see what the Lord's speaking to me. If we're not doing that, if we are actively not reading the Word ourselves, there's going to be a lack. And for me, I need the Word. We need to read it, consume it, understand what it is saying to us. I need to talk with Him. I need to pray. What does that look like? If you could see me, seems like a mess sometimes. I sometimes just get up and walk around, and I'm just talking to the Lord, man. You know, I'll be sweeping the floor after a while. I'll just be doing stuff just to stay busy. You know, in my grade school, if they would have gave me something to do while I was learning, I probably would have learned more. But somehow when I pray, if I'm busy, I can get more praying done, and I can really understand Him, you know. But anyway, I need to pray. I need to hear from Him. And in that prayer time in the morning, I'll sit there, and I'll look at the day before, and I'll go and I'll do an inventory. And I was just talking to a brother before, and you've heard me say it, I am not a journaling guy. But I'll tell you, in the morning, I reflect on the day before, and if there's anything I need to do. If I've offended my wife or gotten mad at her, I need to go give her a hug and a kiss and say, I'm sorry. If I haven't already done it, I just really need to look at what my inventory of the last day was and see if I need to do anything to make the change. So if I've done something wrong, I need to make it right. What I found out when I was here, there was something to do here at CR. And I did the steps. And I did them the best I could. And then when I did that and did them the best way I could, And by the way, I had to wait 2.5 years for a step group. Is that what it was, Daniel? About 2.5 years we had to wait for a first step group there for a while? It was a blur. Anyway, it kind of was a blur. You know, I did it the best way I could, but I'll tell you what, after I got done the first time, I had to go back through it again. I really did. This is a ministry that will help you through your whole process. It's line-on-line process. It works, and you really have to work it. So when I got into this program, I just did work it. You know, I got all out of it I could, and I really still do work it as best I can. I have brothers around me who help me on my journey. I make myself vulnerable in front of other people. I talk honestly to them, and I want to receive back what they have to tell me. I have a pastor, I have a sponsor, I have two sponsors, and not as often as I used to, but I will check in if I need to, and I want to hear from them. But I want to fellowship with brothers, and I want to be vulnerable, and I want to be honest with them and receive. I've understood from the beginning that it's a process. Recovery, sanctification is a process. When I come into it, I just want to be able to just take it a day at a time and a moment at a time and just go through the process of it, you know, and go through the whole process. When the drugs went away and the adultery and all that stuff went away, I could see my weakest link, and that was the pain and anger. When that settled down, I saw the next link. That was the fear and the selfishness. When that subsided lately, I can see the anxiety. I've seen the scripture, and I look at it and go, man, Lord, what am I dealing with this? He says, well, you're dealing with this now because I was getting used to the fact that you're a selfish and fearful person. And now that you understand that, I'm going to show you the force field that's kept you there, and that's this anxiety, you know. So now I'm dealing with the anxiety. I could not see from the insanity of my merry-go-round. I could not get free in the past until he brought me through recovery and sanctification. It's the same thing. So that's the process for me. The process was taking bits and pieces of how he needed to bring me through recovery. And I've heard some people say, and if you do it, it's okay. But I'm this, I'm struggling with this, and this. I would challenge you, if you've been there for a while, try to see if there's a common thing, if there's a denominator under there, if there's something that really is, that's a core of that. For me, my drugs and my anger and the tequila or whatever it was, the anger and the rage was a symptom of my hurt and my pain and my fear and my selfishness, a sense of this whole idea that I was worthless and stupid. I was afraid that this stupid, worthless person was going to go do something wrong, you know? And so once that stuff was gone, I look at the core issues. And I'll guarantee you, if you ask him about what is the core issue, he'll show you what the core issue is. And it would really be good to have him help you through that and talk to him about it. One moment at a time, one day at a time. So I was going to talk about that, but I already did. I mean, really, it wasn't a suggestion by the Lord. He doesn't give, when he says to do something, when the Lord of all heaven and the glorious Savior of the world tells us to do something, it's more than a suggestion. He's really telling us that's what we need to do. We need to live one day at a time. Psalms 25:5, lead me, teach me, for you are the God who gives me salvation. I have no hope except in you. The E is expect to change. Philippians 1:6. Should be wearing my glasses, actually. Thought I could get away with this. Oh, yes, 1:6. I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. On what day? When do you graduate? When's graduate? Yeah, when we're standing before him. You know, when he's received us into glory, man, into heaven. That'll be a great day. But until then, I haven't received a diploma. I haven't graduated, and I don't expect to. I'm a work in progress, and I'm expecting more and more change every day, you know. And he is doing a good work in me, you know. And just like that skit we saw, we've seen it before. You've seen the Chiseling skit. I just saw it in the grand opening of Todd's CR. Just seeing that chiseling skid of the skit guys, you know, that's how it works, man. He's just up there chiseling on our life. Some of it's painful, some of it's freeing and releasing, but it's a process. And we need to expect that that change is going to come and it's going to happen. And if we're open for change, we can expect that it's going to happen. And it's really good to have that heart to expect it. We are much more than worthless victims and addicts. We are His sons and daughters. We are wonderfully made and loved by Him. Amen? You know, I mean, if that's how He feels about us, if we are His sons and daughters and that we are wonderfully made by Him and He loves us, then how much more because of all that pain we felt and all that problems that sin is done and worked in our lives, how much of that does He want to see go away? How much of that does He want to help us? How much does He want to heal us? He really does, and He really will. He is faithful, and His love is very relentless. How many people can say amen to that? It's relentless. He's very relentless. So we need to expect a change. We need to surrender to the change as well. It's a choice. It's a choice. So the journey is just starting. There's going to be some things coming up and lessons coming up of things we need to do. And really, I just really challenge you to just eagerly look for those things. You're going to be writing. You're going to be thinking. You're going to be praying. You're going to have God. You're going to be asking God to reveal things to you that you can write down and you can become vulnerable. And you can just look forward to getting those things and just releasing those things. What I do want to bring up in closing, I want to just say, if there's anybody who has believed that they're not God and that He does exist but does not have Him as the Savior in their life, if you haven't really connected with the fact that Jesus died 2,000 years ago, He was the atoning sacrifice for sin. He was the last sacrifice for sin. And because He did that, we no longer have to have that sin in our lives. We can be freed from that sin by accepting Jesus, His death on the cross, His awesome resurrection from the grave, and the power that he reigns in heaven now. So we can experience being born again. And I'm going to close in prayer. And part of my prayer, I'm going to just ask for salvation myself, and you can just in your heart repeat those words. If you want to accept Jesus, you can do it right now, and you can ask Him to come in your life to change you. You can give Him your life. You confess that you have sinned and that you need His forgiveness, and just look for an adventure in that. But that's hope, and let me close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just thank You that You have loved us so much, Lord. Lord, we just thank You that the hope You have given, Lord, is calling our name, is knocking on our door. Lord, we are sensing that hope even now. And I just pray, Lord, that You'd speak to each one of our hearts and just really, Lord, encourage us with that hope. Lord, I just pray that You would just show us the faithfulness You have, and I just pray that You continue, Lord Jesus. And Father, I recognize I am a sinner, that I have fallen short of Your glory. Lord, I recognize that sin is in this earth and creation is spoiled by sin, Lord God. Father, and I am part of that, Lord God, and I just pray that You forgive me of my sin, Lord. Lord, that You'd come in my heart right now, Lord, and live with me and reside with me. Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would fill me, Lord, and guide me. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that You would go before me and light my way, Lord Jesus. I recognize that You died on the cross, that You rose again in power. Father, and I want to experience that power in my life. I thank You so much for Jesus, for what You've done, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would lead me, Lord, in fellowship. Lead me in my life, Lord God. You're so good, Lord Jesus. We thank You, and we all said, amen. So if you have done that prayer, I would encourage you to connect with somebody and let them know Find yourself a sponsor or some accountability people and start hanging out with them and start just fellowshipping and just rubbing shoulders with them. I'll give you some homework. That thing about being wonderfully made, check out Psalms 139 and just dwell on that for a while. Amen.